Bob Knowles. He's here with representing U.S. Air Traffic Control interests. He's with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. I have to be careful when I say that because I always want to say the National Association of Air Traffic Controllers, and that just it doesn't come out.
As long
to
as
be,
you don't say that other organization.
It doesn't come out to be NATCA when you do that. So and also Lutz Prischow, who is with the Frankfurt Area Center, the Trade Union Navigation Services, telling us all about European and German practices and flying and general aviation.
Some of our differences
and some of our samenesses. Yeah. And one of them, which is absolutely a similarity, is there is a mindset, and this is just prevalent, especially among student pilots here, of that communication thing. And it's definitely the last thing we teach students to be concerned with. You fly the plane first, you navigate second, you communicate last. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that is the reason or contributes to the reason, but people really are afraid to get on that mic. Some people, students, are just even afraid to call and get that weather report. You just don't want to mess up or misunderstand, and they're afraid to ask if they don't understand. And then
I can tell all of those pilots out there right now that I had the same problem coming in here and talking on this radio because every day at work I
talk
on
mic fright.
Right, exactly. So I kind of understand that too.
Well, anybody who sees a picture of Bob will realize there's nothing to be scared of. You know? He looks like your friendly grandfather type, and he's there to help you. So. I don't think you need to be worried
about
him.
It didn't go the way I thought it was.
So, well, and here we have all, well, I hesitate in saying this. I say we all have the same language that we use, and everybody speaks English, but there was a very interesting exchange once. I overheard the recording of it between a British pilot and a New York air traffic controller, and after about two or three exchanges, the pilot said, "You know, I know we're speaking the same language, but I don't understand a word you're saying." Because he just had a really thick New York. So we've got New York and Texas and
Southernese.
You know, all these differences that can mess things up. But over there, you've got quite a lot of different languages.
Yeah, one of the problems is...
Isn't English the standard?
No, actually not. ICAO actually prescribes different languages, and one of the ICAO languages that you can use for air traffic control or for aviation is French. Another one is Spanish. English is the main one. We also have, I think, Russian and Chinese, if I remember correctly. I think those are the five. The French guys speak French on the radio. They do IFR traffic in French, and about 15, 20 years ago when I started out, you'd phone them up and you could really see they were battling with English. And of course, when you, there's a difference between the civilian and the military controllers. And if you speak to the French military controllers, then you pretty much see that their English is not as great as the English that the civilian guys have. So English is the international language, but you'll find that a lot of the countries, especially when you go further south, you'll find they'll just speak their own language. I mean, I've flown down to Greece, and a friend of mine is a Lufthansa 320 captain, and I flew down to Greece with him one time, and all you heard was Greek. The only person they spoke English to was us. So they did all their IFR traffic in Greek. The French do it in French as a matter of course. They don't even, there's no big deal about it. In France, there's a lot of airfields you can't fly into if you can't speak French. There's VFR fields, and they have a note saying, if you don't speak French, don't fly here. So you have to be able to do the RT in French. It's not really complicated. If you can get past the numbers thing, the French numbers are a little difficult to remember sometimes. But having said that, I've been into France a couple of times, and I've always found them to be incredibly friendly. They're incredibly helpful. If you make a little bit of effort, and I think that's valid for wherever you go, they'll go out of their way to try and help you. But having said that, French is their thing, and if you don't do it in French, you're not going to get any kind of help. So there is that problem for general aviation in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, general aviation here, like Mel was saying, though, it's very difficult sometimes to get some of these pilots just to call us up, and it's not the language barrier, it's just we're two-headed monsters or something.
Yeah, I think that seems to be an air traffic control phenomenon anywhere you go. The people just seem to be scared of us, and I work on that in my flying club a lot, and I get the guys out to the center where we have our flight information specialists, and I introduce them and let them sit down and watch the radar scope. So they can pretty much see what's going on and meet the people. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get the word out there in my little way and saying, well, look, these are just ordinary guys. They want to help you out, but there are some rules you have to stick to, and there are certain procedures that you need to know. We can help you out to a always like to say, the better you know what you're doing, the more we can help you. It's really difficult when somebody needs help and doesn't know how to ask for it.
And that's my biggest thing is when I go out and talk to some of these pilot groups, and sometimes even on the radio, you can tell who's got more experience on the radio, definitely. But I tell them, if you're a student pilot, let me know. If you're a low-time pilot, let me know. Because that way, it establishes our baseline here and how much help you need, how much hand-holding or whatever, and that's what we're there for.
Yeah, and the problem with us is often you can't... We have a problem that you can't... Often the student or the experienced pilot speaking English sounds like the student pilot.
Uh-huh.
Because his English is not his language.
Right.
And then even though he might know what he's doing, his English is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of get led down the road, well, is this a student pilot? And so that causes an additional problem with the language.
Yeah.
Because not everybody... And we do VFR in German. But the strange thing is most pilots, once they get into the flying thing, they'll mm-hmm. start doing it in English, and then it becomes this mix-up of German and English. And they'll start off in German, and then they'll go over to English, and they'll use a bit of English, and then a bit of German again.
Uh-huh.
And so that can cause confusion, and it can also...
What does that do for situational awareness of everybody?
Well, there you
around?
Go. That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly what I was saying.
I mean, I realize that Europeans are much more likely to be multilingual than mm-hmm. we are here, but nonetheless...
It's not good for air traffic control, and which is why ICAO, I was just saying, it's not an issue in America, but ICAO, which is the International Civil Aviation Authority, has actually just brought out new ruling that all flying personnel have to have a certain level of English. And we've actually started in Germany and in the rest of Europe with implementing the English language certificate. And you have to have a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually training... Well, we're not training up the controllers because all the guys I work with have that standard anyway. And we have had it for as long as I can remember. But they want to have everybody who flies have a certain base language skill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an aviation skill. It's English understanding. They want to be able... We find that pilots can do the RT, but the minute you go off the RT, that's it. They're mm-hmm. done. You can't get away from the standard phraseology, not one little bit, because then they right. don't understand. And that's what we're trying to change.
And that's the purpose of standard phraseology, too, though. So.
Certainly,
well,
but...
Well, and is the standard phraseology... we've got the ICAO standard phraseology
right.
there, and when you've got your U.S. pilots with their FAA terminology...
See, what we have a problem is when you have an emergency is when the standard phraseology normally
exactly.
goes missing. And that's when these pilots aren't able to help themselves, because they can't describe their problem. We had a guy with a Piper once had a fire in the cockpit, and he was trying to explain that he was getting the flames were coming out of the heater vent, and he couldn't think of the word heater vent, and I mean it was burning and
yeah.
things were happening, and his English just wasn't, and we weren't able to help him because we didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying is we want pilots to have enough language skills so that they're able to use the out of the ordinary situations and be able to describe their situation to us so we can help them out.
Right, absolutely. Well, along these lines of getting pilots to talk to controllers, we're here this week. We're at the National Air Traffic Controllers booth, which is conveniently located between the new tower and the old tower. We'll also be working with EAA over in the Learn to Fly Pavilion. So if you're over there and want to talk to controller and get any hints or whatever,
don't want to talk to him when you're in the air, but if you want to
we'll start off on the ground
we'll
and work our way
up. Start off on the ground
up.
And there you go.
Yeah,
so, we'd be happy to talk to you. Just come on by either place there.
Well, do either of you have any suggestions other than just, calling up and getting over the fright of what someone can do to become more comfortable with the phraseology, become more comfortable talking on the mic?
Like anything else, practice makes you perfect. But like I said before, if you're a low-time pilot or a student pilot or something like that, let me know. I won't be rattling off a turn and a climb and... weather information all in one transmission. I'll give you little pieces here and little pieces there. I'll talk slower. I won't mix you up in the faster streams where you have your higher time pilots and you're trying to get a sequence going or something. So,
well, for our...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. For our part, I always encourage the... I know it's been more difficult here, and even I have a problem getting into towers and facilities. It's unfortunately one of the side effects of the
9/11,
of the 9/11 issue. And that's very unfortunate, because in Germany it's really easy to get into a tower or a facility. Well, when I say really easy, you can get in. It's not... Mm-hmm.
You don't have the 3-month background check.
No, we don't have any of that.
Process,
you can pretty much, you can pretty much get into the facilities if you go with somebody who's from the facility without
right.
too much of a problem. And I really encourage people to go and see the facilities. The smaller towers in Germany are really no issue. You can get into them without any problems. Mm-hmm. You can get onto the airfields. And I encourage people to go and see the tower. Go and see
Absolutely.
The people. Go to the facilities if you have an opportunity. We have a visitor program. If you phone up and say, I want to see what flight information looks like, I'm a GA pilot, we'll bring you in. We're happy to show you around. We'll let you sit next to the guys and watch what's going on. And once the people have actually been there and they've met the people and they realize, well, these are just your average guys, that takes away that fear.
It does.
Yeah. I always take students up into facilities when Ace. This has been Push to Talk, our air traffic control hour, with Bob Knowles. And you're still active in Evansville?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Active controller in Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
And Lutz Pritschow with the Trade Union Air Navigation Services there in Germany. And thank you very much for being here, gentlemen.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having us.